Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Zion Lutheran Church this morning. Please feel free to peruse the announcements. God's blessings on your worship. Please join us in singing our opening hymn, number 518.
I owe your saints in warfare for all your saints at rest. Your holy name, O Jesus, forevermore be blessed. For you have won the battle that they might wear the crown, and now they shine in glory reflected from your throne. Our thanks for John the Baptist, who till his dying day made straight paths for the Savior and heralded his way. In witnessing to Jesus through times of fret or shame, may we with faith and courage the Lamb of God proclaim. Then let us praise the Father and worship God the Son, and sing to God the Spirit, eternal three in one, till all the ransomed number fall down before the throne, ascribing power and glory reflected from your throne.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hand, the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the up and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship Him.
Lord, You were favorable to Your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
You forgave the iniquity of Your people. You covered all their sin.
You withdrew all Your wrath. You turned from Your hot anger.
Restore us again, O God, of our salvation, and put away Your indignation toward us.
Will You be angry with us forever? Will You prolong Your anger to all generations?
Will You not revive us again, that Your people may rejoice in You?
Show us Your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us Your salvation.
Let me hear what the Lord will speak. For He will speak peace to His people, to His saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky.
Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before Him and make His footsteps a way. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos chapter 7. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line in His hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistles from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He has lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
We confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed printed on the inside cover of your hymnal. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Please be seated. If we have any children that would like to come up with the children's message, they are free to do so now. Good morning. Is it Michaela and Miles, right? Fantastic. Thank you for coming up here today. Well, my name is Pastor Hoham. I know you don't know me, but there are lots of people in your life that you do. Can you think of someone, give me an example maybe, of someone that you love very much? I think one of them is probably sitting next to you. Grandma? Yeah. Oh, we love grandma, don't we? Yep. Yep. Who? And what? Yeah. Mommy and daddy? Oh, yes. Yep, we love mommy and daddy very much. What are some ways that you show mommy and daddy and grandma that you love them? Do you do what they ask you to do? Sometimes? Yeah, sometimes, okay. Do you brush your teeth? Yeah. Yeah. And maybe pick up your room a little bit? Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever get them gifts? Like maybe at Christmas time or on their birthday? Maybe all the time. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you make them something? It's a dream. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, we like to give gifts to people that we love, don't we? Yep. Is that one of the ways that we show love? Yeah. Whether we make them something, sometimes we buy them something, but gifts are one of those ways that we show people that we love, how much we love them, right? Do you guys get gifts from people that love you?
Yeah.
Yeah. We always look forward to birthdays and Christmas.
At my house.
Yeah, at your house? Yeah, I know at our house, we always look forward to Christmas time, don't we? Opening those presents. Yeah. Yep. Well, did you know, I'll bet you do, that there is somebody else who loves you very much. Who is that, do you think? I think there's a picture of him on your paper there.
Yeah.
Who is that? God. Yeah, Jesus, right? Jesus. Jesus loves you very much. And does Jesus ever give you gifts to show you how much he loves you?
I miss him,
Mommy. Yeah. Does he give you, did he give you mommy and daddy and grandma? Yeah, to give you a house and food.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, in our reading from Ephesians today, Paul uses the word inheritance. That's kind of a big word. I have trouble pronouncing it. Yep. He told us the word inheritance. And inheritance is like a gift, except it's when somebody that loves us very much gives us everything that they have. Right? That's an inheritance. And that is how much your Heavenly Father and Jesus love you, is they didn't just give you a gift, they gave you everything they had, right? Do you know how Jesus gave you everything he had? What did Jesus do for you? Did he die on the cross? Yeah, he died on the cross, he gave you his life, and he gives you entrance into the kingdom of heaven so that you can go and be with him someday, right? Which is pretty neat, huh? That's kind of the best gift there is, isn't it? Will you guys be willing to pray with me before we go back to your pew? Can you fold your hands? Can you repeat after me? Say, Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For all the people that we love.
For all the people that we love.
And that love us.
And that love us.
And for dying on the cross.
And for dying on the cross.
And giving us the gift of eternal life.
And giving us the gift of eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much.
Jesus, priceless treasure, out of purest pleasure, true best friend to me, along in anguish shall my spirit Lord, for thee, thou art. earth be shaking, every heart be quaking. Jesus calms my fear, lightnings flash and thunders crash, yet through sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. Satan, I defy thee, death I now decry thee, fear I bid thee cease, world thou shalt not harm me, nor my threats alarm me, while I sing of peace. God's great powers are every hour, earth and all its depths adore him. Silent bow before him. Hence all earthly treasure, Jesus is my pleasure, Jesus is my choice. Hence all empty glory, not to me thy story, told with tempting voice, pain or loss or shame or cross, shall not from my Savior move me, since he deigns to love me. Evil world, I leave thee, thou canst not deceive me, thine appeal is vain. Sin that once did blind me, get thee far behind me, come not forth again. Pass thy hour, O pride and power, sinful life thy bonds I sever. Leave me now forever. Hence all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus enters in. Those who love the Father, though the storms may gather, still have peace within. Yea, whate'er I here must bear, thou art still my purest pleasure, Jesus, priceless treasure.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. Now, we usually take that to mean the crosses that we bear simply by virtue of living in a sinful world. Illnesses, family struggles, losing your job, you know, the things that happen to everyone at some point in their lives. We take Jesus to mean that as a Christian, we are free to take those troubles and follow him, and he will bear them for us, and in return, give us peace and forgiveness in their place. After all, he says that if we are weary, to come to him, and we'll soon find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And to be sure, all of that is true. We are free to cast our cares and burdens upon Jesus because he cares for us. And if not in this life, he will surely relieve us from all our earthly sufferings in the life to come. However, when Jesus says, "Pick up your cross and follow me," he's not really talking about just giving him all of our troubles. The cross that he references isn't just the cares and struggles that come to us naturally in the world. No, the cross that Jesus refers to is the cross of the Christian. It is the cross we bear because we are disciples of Jesus Christ that we are to bear and carry as we follow in his footsteps. It is the cross that he himself entrusts to us because no slave is greater than his master. If the world hates Jesus Christ, surely it must hate all the more his followers. What Jesus describes here is a death sentence, a dying to the self and to the world, and in many cases it may involve physical death as a Christian reward. There is, after all, only one reason to carry a cross. At the end of the journey, you're going to be crucified upon it. And no Christian is exempt from this. The apostles, the early church fathers, many of them faced tremendous suffering and death for the sake of the Savior that they preached. Even John the Baptist, as we read in our gospel lesson this morning, was not above being imprisoned and killed for bearing witness to the Word of God. Jesus had called John the Baptist the greatest man ever born of women. But even John was not above facing the same fate that had been faced by so many prophets before him. Having angered the king, or more so the king's wife, with his unflinching proclamation of God, he suffered death rather than retract a single word that he said. And truth be told, it would have been very easy for John to do so. I mean, what was his crime? He had taken King Herod to task over his choice of a wife. It was against the law of Moses to take your brother's wife, and yet Herod had done just that. His lust and desire for this woman had carried the day, and in any case, he wasn't even a Jew, so what did he care about the law of Israel's God? And yet John the Baptist just wouldn't shut up about it. This rugged and wild man from the desert who had captured the attention and the hearts of the people had been relentless in taking the king to the proverbial woodshed over this overt act of adultery, this abomination and spoiling that he had brought into his marriage bed and into the palace of Jerusalem. And John was not going to let him off with a warning. No, he repeatedly and without ceasing repeated the word of God to the king. "It is not lawful for you to take your brother's wife. Repent now or face the wrath of God." It's impossible to know how any of us would act in the face of intense life or death persecution, but I think at least conceptually, we'd think ourselves capable of dying for the sake of the gospel. If the choice was to deny Christ or die, I think most of us would like to think that we would choose death over an outright denial of the Lord. But what if that wasn't the case? What if the demand made of us wasn't to deny Jesus Christ per se, but rather just to deny some other part of God's word that, well, maybe we thought was a little less important? Would you rather die than reject the saving nature of baptism? Would you rather die than reject the true presence of Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper? Would you rather die than reject the teaching of salvation by grace alone through faith alone? Where's the line? I mean, at what point have we compromised too much? When have we whittled away at God's word enough that we finally arrive at the point where we've rejected the God whose word it is. John the Baptist is not being explicitly told to deny Jesus Christ as Lord. Nowhere does Herod make that requirement of him, although Herod's successors will martyr some of the early Christians, including the Apostle James, for doing just that. No, the sticking point for John is one singular point found in the law. It was unlawful, according to God's word, for a man to marry his brother's wife. The king had married his brother's wife. Therefore, that was the hill that John was going to die on, both figuratively and eventually literally. So strong was John's conviction of the truth of God's word, so great was his faithfulness to the God who had sent him as a prophet to prepare the way of the Lord's Christ, that he was willing to lay down everything for every single word written down on the page. In this case, the teachings of God's word concerning the importance and sanctity of marriage were so eternally vital that he was willing to be imprisoned and killed rather than see the king flaunt God's word with an unlawful marriage. Now, as 21st century Americans, this should convict us to the core of our being. I mean, how many parts of God's word have we been willing to compromise on, both individually and collectively as the church, not even because our lives were on the line, but just so that we wouldn't get called mean names? I mean, if we just take one example, the issue faced by John the Baptist in our reading today, marriage. In many ways, we've completely retreated on that issue. I mean, can you imagine John the Baptist, or Christ himself for that matter, reacting so nonchalantly while God's design for marriage is openly flaunted and his name is blasphemed in the process? Additionally, it should be noted that John the Baptist wasn't exactly nice in his approach to King Herod in this situation. King Herod's sin was public, and so John rebuked him in public. It was embarrassing, both to the king and to his family, not to mention being a threat to Herod's illegitimate wife and her hold on power as the queen. And so, seeing her opportunity in her husband's weakness towards lust, she allows her own daughter, Herod's stepdaughter, to dance provocatively in front of him. And when Herod, in his lust, foolishly promises this girl anything she wants, the king instructs her to ask for the head of John the Baptist. Truly a vile group of people, worthy of every ounce of scorn that John had heaped upon them. And yet it's not John's anger they needed to be worried about. It's God's. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "I warn everyone who hears the words of prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book." In other words, we don't get to be cafeteria Christians. We don't get to pick and choose which parts of God's word we're willing to lay our lives down for and which ones we aren't. It's all the Word of God. And we are in no place to leave out or compromise on what we think, in our opinion, are the less important parts of it. Now, of course, a wise Christian will, through experience in the Holy Spirit, be able to rightly divide the Word so as to apply it appropriately and to do so with wisdom and with love. But that's not the same thing as retreating the ground to the enemy and allowing the commandments of Christ to be treated as if they were nothing. On the contrary, Jesus tells us that if we love him, we will keep his commandments, and that includes living Christian lives that proclaim the entire counsel of God, even when people call us mean because of it. You see, at the end of the day, the problem isn't that God's law is burdensome or unreasonable. The problem is that we are completely and utterly run through with our own sin. The law seems burdensome to us because our sinful nature hates it. And it hates the law because the law is summed up in one word. And that's love. To keep the law is to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your body, all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is what our sinful nature finds so unreasonable, and that is what Herod and his so-called wife found so objectionable about John's preaching. Their own despising of marriage was making a mockery out of the greatest human relationship ever instituted by God and turning on its head in an evil and satanic way. To love one's husband or wife is to love them in the way in which God prescribes. And this certainly doesn't involve doing what Herod had done by taking his brother's wife, or what she herself had done by abandoning her husband. There was no love in this marriage. There was only sin. And John refused to look at that and call it good in the eyes of God. John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born of women. Jesus himself said that. And yet even he was not spared the unjust punishment so often meted out to the prophets by those to whom they had been sent to prophesy. His disciples, upon hearing of his death, immediately took possession of his body and laid it in the tomb, faithfully awaiting the day of the resurrection along with the rest of the saints. As for us, we would do well to learn from his example. Christ also says in the book of Revelation, he says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." And this kind of faithfulness to the death applies to each and every one of us, regardless of how we meet the end of our earthly lives. John knew this. The apostles knew this. Every Christian ever born knows this, that the road is long. The cross is heavy. And we know what lies at the end. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for the wonderful love that he has shown to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, who not only commands us to bear our cross and follow him, to walk in righteousness and truth and bear witness to his words and all that we say and do, but then also sends us his Holy Spirit to accomplish this good work in us. John was not sinless, and neither are we. And yet Christ in his mercy has seen fit to equip us for this task, to bear the ultimate witness to God's law, not just in the words of his mouth, but in his body and blood on the cross. The Holy Spirit compels us to love this Jesus, our Lord and our King, and to love the words and commandments that flow from his mouth more than all the flattering words of people or any earthly benefit this world can offer. These things, like the grass and the flowers, will wither and fade. But the word of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, endures forever. And his word promises that we also, along with John the Baptist, will endure forever, both now and in the presence of our Savior Jesus. In his name, amen. We sing together hymn 941.
We praise you and acknowledge you, O God, to be the Lord, the Father everlasting, my all the earth adored. To you all angel powers cry aloud, the heavens sing, the cherubim and seraphim their praises to you bring. O holy, 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 Lord God of majesty and glory, fill the heavens with your earth. The band of the apostles in glory sing your praise. The fellowship of prophets, their deathless voices raise. The martyrs of your kingdom, a great and noble throng, sing with the holy church throughout all the world this song. Spirit Comforter, forever three in one. You, Christ, are King of glory, the everlasting Son. Yet you, with boundless love, sought to rescue your glory, were born a virgin's womb, were crucified for us, and were placed into a tomb. Then by your resurrection, you won for us reprieve. You heaven's kingdom to all who would believe. You sit in splendid glory, enthroned at God's right hand, upholding earth and heaven, by forces you that final day. So help your servants you have redeemed by blood, we pray. May we with saints be numbered, where praises never end, in glory everlasting.
At this time, could I please have the Vacation Bible School staff come up and join me in front of the church? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are to serve our Lord as Vacation Bible School staff at Zion Lutheran Church. Hear what the Holy Scripture has to say about those who serve in the church from Galatians chapter 6. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And from Romans chapter 12, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, in the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. In the presence of God and of Zion Lutheran Church, I install you as Vacation Bible School staff. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, through your dear Son, you have made us all your witnesses. Enlightened by your Holy Spirit, all who speak to others the message of salvation through Jesus' blood and merit, grant your blessing upon your servants so that your word and their service in your name may reach out and bear much fruit for the growth of your church. And also, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon all the children and families who participate in Vacation Bible School this year. Grant your protection in all travels, faith in hearing your word, and joy in the salvation which you grant through your Son, Jesus Christ. All this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Your turn to your seats. I invite you to please stand for the prayers of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that the Lord would preserve her for his name's sake and answer her in his righteousness and faithfulness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the testimony of Christ's word opposed by the world, and for conviction and confidence in our confession that salvation is found through Christ Jesus alone, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all ministers, that God would make them zealous and faithful in their service, and for Matthew Harrison, our Synod President, our District President, our Circuit Visitor, that God would grant them wisdom in their work and joy in their calling, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the blessed estate of marriage, that God would cause chastity to be prized among his Christians and honored also in the world. For husbands and wives, that God would bind them together in love and forgiveness. And for parents, that God would equip them by his Spirit with every good gift to care for and teach the children he gives. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and its leaders, that God would spare them. For our civil servants and our people, that their conduct would be wise, just, and honorable in accord with the Lord's revealed will. And even for those who oppose God, that the Lord be merciful to them for the sake of Christ, and remember that he desires all to be saved. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the needy in body and soul, especially Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Michael, Ray, Lane, Chelsea, Norma, Justin, and the family of Orville Benskin. That he would lavish the riches of his grace on them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we would respect the bodies of the saints in life and death, and that as the disciples of John gave him a proper burial, we too would confess our expectation of the resurrection in word and deed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father,
these are prayers and praises with those of your faithful people in every time and in every place. Unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great High Priest until he comes again on the last day. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
O Lord,
you granted your prophets strength to resist the temptations of the devil and courage to proclaim repentance. Give us pure hearts and minds to follow your Son faithfully, even into suffering and death. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God,
now and forever. Amen.
I thank you,
my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen. Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, number 686.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Oh, that day when, free from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothed in the blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy wondrous grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels soon to carry me to realms of endless day.